Now, the trade deadline for the Major League Baseball season was last night, and the Milwaukee Brewers made a big shakeup this week. They traded their closer, all-star pitcher Josh Hader, to the San Diego Padres in exchange for two Major League pitchers and two minor league prospects. The move got mixed reactions. Some fans questioned why the team would trade away one of its top relief pitchers while sitting in first place in a division, making another playoff run. Brewers President of Baseball Operations David Stern said the trade is about sustaining success.
Today's trade, as we said in the release, is about doing everything we can as an organization to continue our mission and our goal of giving our team as many bites at the apple as we possibly can to sustain competitiveness and to avoid some of the down cycles that we've seen throughout baseball in the not too distant past.
We're checking out that trade and what's in store for the rest of the Brewers season. Dominic Catriano is a statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin, host of the Locked On Brewers podcast. Dominic, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, I ask you the question I'm guessing a lot of Brewers fans are asking: why? Why this Hader trade?
Well, you know, Brewers fans have been used to hearing Josh Hader's name in trade conversations, it feels like, since 2019 when he first took the closer role. Why now? It's because his value probably was at its peak right now. You give a chance to sell him for a playoff run to a team like the Padres who needs help in the bullpen, and you get to add some prospects. Let's say the worst-case scenario, the Murphy's Law, everything that can go wrong will go wrong, and that, let's say, Hader gets hurt in the second half or he continues his struggles like he had in July. All of a sudden, all that value that you had built up may not quite be there for the Brewers that they knew they were going to have to trade him. The Brewers have always operated as a small-market team, understanding that they're not going to be able to pay superstars like other teams could in the future. And Hader's heading into his final year of his contract next season, in which he's likely to become the richest arbitration-eligible reliever in baseball history. So the Brewers were not excited to make that trade yesterday, and it got an even interesting twist today as one of the big leaguers that returned, D'Nelson Lamet, was actually designated for assignment, a.k.a. cut from the roster today.
Now, fans might ask, but we're in a playoff run now. Doesn't this potentially have a downside if the Brewers stay in first place and are trying to go as far as they can into the playoffs?
It's a very fair criticism, and you're losing Josh Hader, who, as many baseball analysts say, is the best closer in baseball. He has been lights out, July aside, when he's had a weird month, but he is one of the best in the biz. But to David Stearns and Matt Arnold's credit, the brass of the Brewers front office, they did acquire another closer back in this trade. The other big leaguer is Taylor Rogers. Plenty of big league experience as a closer. In fact, he is second on the National League leaderboard behind Josh Hader for the most saves in baseball in the National League. So it's not like they're bringing in somebody who doesn't have experience. And furthermore, they feel confident to have Devin Williams save multiple games the rest of the season. He has been the guy that closes games when Josh Hader isn't available, like we've seen earlier this year. They are confident with their depth in the bullpen right now. And as we look toward the playoffs, the bullpens are what truly matters. You can have a great starting staff, but it tends to have starting pitchers get yanked a little early in the playoffs. Having a deep bullpen could be a huge key for the Brewers to finally get back to the World Series since the first time since 1982.
Now, for the casual fan who's maybe a little in and out early in the season, now the Brewers are in first place, hoping to stay there. Give us a sense, strengths and weaknesses of the team as they come into the home stretch here.
The strengths of the team is that they have a lot of power. In fact, they're in the top three in all of baseball for home runs hit as a club. They hit three home runs yesterday against the Pirates. They have a lot of power up and down the order. There are plenty of guys that can hit homers. Three of them already have over 20: Rowdy Tellez, Willy Adames, and Hunter Renfro. Furthermore, they're getting healthier. They've only had a total of something like 17, 18 games all season, in which they've had their main complement of position players that they acquired this offseason healthy and eligible to play in a game. And furthermore, Christian Yelich in the leadoff spot has been a huge boost for the Brewers, finding out that, you know what, maybe the Brewers shouldn't be relying on Christian Yelich for power like we saw in 2018 and 2019, but relying for him getting on base and stealing bases and using his base running ability as opposed to the lack of power he's had. So him in the leadoff spot and the reemergence of health really can keep the Brewers offense going in the right direction. And of course, the strength of the big three of the starting rotation: Corbin Burnes, the reigning Cy Young Award winner; Brandon Woodruff has returned from injury strong, and tonight we see Freddie Peralta return from injury against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So those three starters any team in the big leagues would take those three, and the lineup is getting deeper, and health has been a big part of the Brewers all year, and in these final 2 months, looks like they're going to be healthy.
Okay, that sounds pretty rosy. No team is perfect. What are some of the worries that people worry that the Brewers might trip up on the way into the playoffs?
Well, with home runs come strikeouts, and the Brewers are in the top half of the National League in strikeouts as a team. So it's not that surprising to see a lot of strikeouts, but the Brewers work a lot of counts. That's how they build their team. That's how they build their offensive approach. They see the most pitches per plate appearance in baseball. They're a very patient team. They don't chase a lot, but at the same time, they still strike out, swing and miss, pitches in the zone, pitches out of the zone. It doesn't matter. The biggest weakness that will be hurting the Brewers is the bottom half of the order, and maybe the lack of depth position player-wise. As we've seen this year, when players are hurt, they don't exactly have replacement-level players ready to go to keep the winning times going. June was a really tough month for the Brewers. They're getting things going again here in the second half, but if there is another injury in these final 59 games, it will be tough for the Brewers to absorb it.
All right, and again, for those casual fans, a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, eh, whatever, 10 being, get in there now because this is going to be a great year. What number should they be thinking about?
I'd be thinking 7.5. Okay. I know there's been a lot of animosity about this Josh Hader trade and folks worried about, oh my goodness, just traded an all-star closer. But this is still a very exciting team. And as we saw with the Braves last year, they were an under 500 team 100 games into the season, and they won the World Series. All you got to do is get hot at the end of September into October, and anything can happen. Just got to punch your ticket and get into the playoffs. And that's what the Brewers are looking for the rest of the year.
Dominic, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it.
That's Dominic Catronio, statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin, host of the Locked On Brewers podcast. He's with us today to break down the Milwaukee Brewers trade of closer Josh Hader and what's in store for the rest of their season.